Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. This is the account, a well-known account, of two men, two, the Scripture says, that are walking to the road, on the road to a city called Emmaus. And verse 14 said they talked together of all these things which had happened just 3 days before the Lord Jesus Christ had been crucified. And it said it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. Think of the fulfillment of Scripture. The Scripture says, where two or three are gathered in My name, I am in the midst of you. We see our blessed Lord, faithful to His Word, faithful to His people. What I see in these Scriptures, and I'm going to deal with that discourse and go on through some of those passages right there, but I want to behold tonight a picture of how God saves us. The Scripture speaks of Him. He's getting ready to teach these two that very thing. When a man, a woman, hears of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God takes that word and hears a mysterious, wonderfully mysterious thing. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the record of Christ Himself, the gospel, in God's power, purpose, will, He takes that message. Now, men have contrived all kinds of ways on how to get people saved. They'll try all kinds of methods. They'll try to scare them, tell them about how hot hell is. They'll try to manipulate them, get them just all different kinds of ways, methods. How do you get a man saved? Well, you know, scare him into getting saved. Fool him. Slip up on his backside. I had a guy tell me one time. He said, "I believe what you're preaching." He said, "But if I preach that, just right out of the chute, you know, they'll run me off." So he said, "I figured, so help me." He said, "I figured it's going to take me about 10 years before I can finally get around." I thought, that's just a little bit too long. No, you don't believe that either. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. This is God's means. This is God's word. This is God's way. This is how God saves a sinner." These two on the road to Emmaus, they heard the message of Christ Himself. He taught them of Himself. And here was their conclusion after they heard the message. Did not our heart burn within us as He opened unto us the Scriptures. Those Scriptures concerning Himself. There's some folks here that know something about that. They hear the message of Christ. They hear it again. They hear it again. When our brother stood up here a moment ago and was speaking of these marvelous things, these marvelous words, these wonderful words of life we sang about this morning. You know what they're listening for? You know what you want to hear? I want to hear about Him. That's what. Tell me about Him one more time. Tell me one more time how He put away my guilt. Tell me one more time how He took my sin. Tell me one more time how He was made to be sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Tell me that one more time. That's what I want to hear. You don't want to hear anything new. That's what they did at Mars Hill. They did nothing but sit around and want to hear some new thing. Something about prophecy, some weird thing, some wild thing. That's what I... Tell me something strange that'll tickle my fancy. Not a believer. Tell me one more time. Tell me about Him. Even now, the Lord Jesus Christ opens the heart of His people the same way. I don't know how much these men knew. I don't know. But I'm going to look at just a moment tonight on the picture of how God saves a sinner. How does He do it? The Scripture says, beginning in where we just read just a few moments ago, "Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 84 furlongs. They talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself..." Now there's a key. "Jesus Himself drew near and went with them." Here's the first thing I know. If God has purposed to save a sinner, He's going to cross that man, that woman's path with the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is concerning Him. When we preach the gospel of Christ, we preach Him. Two were walking on this road, and the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Himself, appeared. Now, when the Lord crosses the path of one that He's purposed to save, it's going to be with the things pertaining to Himself. While they were talking about that which was happening just a few days before, how He was betrayed by one of His own apostles, how He was led to mockery, how He was crucified between two thieves. Knowing these facts, but something when Christ Himself came up and started talking to them. The Scripture says that their eyes, verse 16, were holden that they should not know Him. Their eyes were veiled is what it means. Their eyes were covered. I don't know what it was about the Lord Jesus Christ that day that caused them to not see Him and know Him. But I know in picture and in type, man by nature doesn't know Him, doesn't see Him, doesn't behold Him. Man by nature can't see the glory of God in Christ. He must be revealed. Turn with me to Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 27. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking, He says, "All things are delivered unto Me of My Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. These two are walking on the road to Emmaus. Now you think about this. Here's a picture of how God saves a sinner. First of all, He's purposed to cross their path. He could have left them alone. He could have left you alone. He could have left me alone. Almighty God, purpose. One day, you heard the gospel. God crossed your path providentially. Predestination. You know what that means? God has determined from the beginning the destination that all of His elect are. He determines all men, all women, but especially for His own. He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. He's determined. I would dare say that many of us here tonight are not from here. I'm not originally from here. I was born in central Louisiana. My mama, when I was born, was of another denomination. I was raised up in a different, false denomination. Knew nothing of God. When I was 8 years old, she changed and went to another denomination. I knew nothing of God. One was no different than the other. Both of them false. Both of them works religion. Had nothing whatsoever. In due time, I was raised up in this religion. One day, I heard a message I'd never heard before. Had a man preaching. His name was Henry Mahan. Never heard of him. Never heard of this man. Somebody give me a tape. Pop the tape in there. I listened to that and I thought, I've never seen that, never heard of that in my life. Listened to it again. One day I went to hear him. He was coming to a little church there in central Louisiana. Ball, Louisiana. Where's Ball, Louisiana? Well, that's a place where God was pleased to raise up a preacher. And by God's good providence, in God's timing, when it pleased God, when it pleased Him to reveal Christ in me, I heard it. That's the truth. That's right. When it pleased God, these two men just walking down the road, here they are, just talking. And the Lord Jesus Christ came up, walked along, asked them, "What are y'all talking about? Why do some see it one time and others see it another time? Why is that?" Because God Almighty works all things after the counsel of His own will. And when it pleases Him, when He's pleased, open a man's heart, Almighty God will do it under the preaching of Christ. The gospel of God's free grace in the Lord Jesus Himself, Emmanuel, God with us. He reveals a man's blindness. Verse 25 here said, He said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" I never knew anything about that before. I never knew anything about the glory of Almighty God. Christ Himself, as we considered this morning, glorifying Himself and glorifying His Father in the redemption and salvation of His people. I didn't know anything about that. I thought God was wanting me to do something for Him. I thought God Almighty was trying as hard as He could, trying to save me. And all He was wanting me to do is give Him my heart. I had it in my mind, I'm going to sow my wild oats just before I die. This is so help me, this is the way I had it figured. I'll just do what I want to do. And when I've had all the fun I want to have, then just before, I die, then I'll give my heart to Jesus. I doubt it. No, you won't. Almighty God left me to myself. I tell you exactly what I'd have done. I'd have gone to my grave rebelling against Him, and I would not have cared one bit for His honor, for His Christ, for His glory. Here is divine kindness, divine mercy, divine grace, revealing the ignorance of His elect. Oh, fools, blind, slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken concerning Him. This must be. For man is proud of his own knowledge. Man's proud of himself. What was it that they were ignorant of? Well, it wasn't ignorance of, you know, the day's events. I mean, man by nature knows a lot about religious stuff. Everybody and their brother talks about religion, talks about the Jesus of their imagination, the God of their own image, their idol that they've created in their mind. The God that they say they serve, but truly in their mind, He serves them. Man knows that kind of God. Oh, fools, slow of heart, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. That's what He told those Pharisees. You search the Scriptures, you do. And you think that you have eternal life. These are they. Speak of Me. Speak of Him. Ought not the Lord to have suffered as a man? These things must be that He enter into His glory. He must reveal Himself as the message of God's Word. He began to reveal in the Scriptures those pictures and types and shadows, His suffering, His glory. As He began to expound unto them. You know that ark that Moses went into? That was Me. You know that brazen serpent that Moses lifted up in the desert? That's a picture of Me. You know that rock that was smitten? That was Me. Beginning with Moses and all the Scriptures, the prophets, He expounded unto them those things concerning Himself. That manna that came down out of heaven? That was a picture of Me. I am the bread. I am God. I am the food. I am the meat. That's Me. While He expounded, they came near, the Scripture says, to a village where they lived, a place called Emmaus. And He made as though that He would have gone farther. Now, I'll tell you this, He wasn't teasing them. He wasn't fooling them. But something within cause them to constrain Him to stay. I've heard men speak of this prevenient grace. Grace before grace. You remember when Zacchaeus, little man short of stature, the Scripture says, in a place called Jericho, and the Lord was going to pass through that place. There was Zacchaeus. I may have mentioned this before, but I think about this. That man short of stature. Something within. What was it that caused that man to want to view, to see the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you what it was. It was God's grace to him. Gave him a hunger to look on him, wait for him. And that fellow was short in stature by God's everlasting good grace and mercy. He made that man short. Made him short. And in due time, caused that man to climb up in a sycamore tree. Why? Because he was short. He couldn't see over the folks. Couldn't see. Oh, how gracious God was to that man to make him short of stature. God's grace. Prevenient grace. These two men right here, the Lord Jesus Christ, it appeared as though that he would have gone on further. And he, by his mercy and grace to them, gave them a heart to constrain him to come in. By that prevenient grace, they had not been forgetful to entertain strangers as of yet. Their eyes were holding. They didn't know who he was. Here's the marvelous working of God's Spirit, making these two willing. In the day of his power, they just couldn't bear to part with him. What was it that caused you, you that know him? What was it that caused you to want to hear the gospel? Almighty God, drawing you to himself, put you under that gospel, kept you under that gospel, and when it pleased him, gave you a heart for the gospel, revealed himself, and you said then, I see. By God's grace, I see. His love constrained them to constrain him. He put them just exactly where he wanted them. And then the revelation that set their heart aflame. Verse 30 said, it came to pass, as he set it meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. I think about, my mind just a second ago just went to my kids. I don't know why it went to my children, but I was thinking of how many years my children would sit under the gospel. I'd be preaching and they were there. They'd come sit, they knew they had to go, you know. Mom and Dad said, we got to go. It wasn't even up for debate. We go. God's grace. God's saving grace. And in due time, Almighty God was pleased to reveal himself to them. Grace. Grace. God's grace. It says, he sat down with them. He took bread and he blessed it. And he broke it. And he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. And look at this. And they knew him. They knew him. They knew him. They knew who he was. They saw him. They knew him effectually. They knew him savingly. They knew him. And he vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the Scriptures? Here is the heart of one made to behold him savingly. Here he was, as it were, a stranger in their house. Now the master of the house was the one that broke the bread. One who was in charge. And I'll tell you this, the one that was in charge did. He was the one that took that bread and broke it. Now there was something significant, especially in this type. Remember, I'm looking tonight at a picture of how God saves a sinner. Here was two that were just going their merry way. God was pleased to cross their path. The Lord Jesus Christ came to and revealed their ignorance. And by His grace, hem them up and put them in a place where he was going to teach them. And he did teach them. And he broke bread. And the scripture says, and here's something that's very significant. Look at verse 35. After he had vanished out of their sight, they had gone. Verse 33 says, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Now let me tell you, there's something significant about what they just said. In type, for sure. I don't know the depth of what was said, but I can tell you this. In picture, in type, as he took that bread, there was a picture. I can tell you this for a fact. There's a picture of him. Broken bread. You know, when we observe the Lord's table, take that bread and break it. The Lord said this, and he ate that bread and drank that cup with his disciples on that last night before his crucifixion. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Here, in type, for sure. In picture, for sure. He took that bread and broke it and blessed it. We break the bread of life right now as we preach the gospel. We preach Him, declare Him the bread of heaven. And we preach Him broken for His people, laying down His life willingly for His own. And the Lord Jesus Christ took that bread, and when He broke it, by His power, by His grace, by His mercy, He revealed Himself. And when He broke that bread, they saw Him. They said, "That's Him. You're the one. You're the Christ." He opened their eyes, and they knew Him. They saw Him. Their substitute. I don't doubt that they had witnessed the 5 loaves and 2 fish, but they saw more than man by nature can see. Their eyes were open. They knew Him. This is life eternal. That's what that thief on the cross, that's what he saw. He looked to the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on that cross, been railing. All of a sudden, Almighty God was pleased to give him a heart for this one that was hanging, dying in his place. And he said, "Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, there's the King right there. There's the Master right there. When you enter into your kingdom, would you remember me? Would you, if you remember me, if you remember me, Lord, if you remember me, I have hope. I've got life. Lord, if you answer for me, I'm secure. Lord, if you speak for me, when you enter into your kingdom, can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ, whose blood answers for all of His elect? This is my body, this is my blood shed for you. I lay down my life for you." He broke that bread, and they knew Him. They saw Him, and their hearts were set aflame. God's people hear of Him afresh, and something happens. Their heart is set on fire by God's Spirit. They hear of Him, they feast on Him, they drink of Him, they love Him. They love Him, and they cannot be without Him. And He vanished out of His sight, out of their sight, removed Himself from them. And they went forth and saw the 11, and they said this, "The Lord risen. Our Master, our Savior, He's alive." he's alive. Pat, why don't you